go to Proverbs chapter 3. We're going to open with a very familiar scripture, Proverbs 3, 5. So, if you've got a Bible nearby, that's great. If not, you can listen. This is entitled, Trust in the Lord. And it's amazing that that's what this verse talks about. Proverbs 3, 5. What a coincidence. Again, a very familiar scripture. One of the reasons it's so familiar because it's a great verse that we need to take to heart. Trust in the Lord just every now and then. No. Doesn't say that. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not a wise guy. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thy increase. And the result will be your barns will be filled with plenty, and your presses shall burst out with new wine. Now we're going to take some time and look at this, and we're going to see other verses that pertain to these subjects that are brought up. So, first off, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. It's an imperative, which makes it a command. God is commanding us to trust in him. And you know, that's a good command. That's a good thing to do. Because we can't figure it all out. And that's what he's telling us. Trust in me with all your heart. Not just emergency, God. Well, I can't figure it out anymore, so all right, God, come on in here and help. I'm opening the door for you. No, that's not what we want to do. We want to walk with God, trusting God, not leaning to our own understanding. But when you work together, holy cow, there's a lot of great things that are available. The word trust is an interesting word because it implies a little bit of hope, you know, a little bit of the future. A lot of companies have these trust seminars, right? You stand there and then you fall backwards and somebody catches you. You know, that's the one they always talk about all the time. When I pledged a fraternity, unfortunately, my roommate, he ended up in the hospital that night for wrong kind of trust. Which takes us in the other aspect of it. You got to make sure you're trusting in the right thing. Right? You know, you got to know something about the true God to trust in him. Because, you know, if you're going to just trust in anybody and everything, I got a bridge I'll sell you. Okay? So, no, that's not it at all. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and don't try and figure every little detail of your life out. It's not going to happen. But in all your ways, if you acknowledge God, God will direct. Well, that word direct is an interesting thing, but let's go back to trust first. Trust means to confide in anyone. To set one's hope and confidence upon anyone. To throw oneself or one's care or on anyone. And of course, we know 1 Peter 5, 7 tells us to cast our cares upon God because God cares for us. And that's trusting God, giving him your cares. So that's what we should be doing. By trusting, giving our cares upon one who could do something about it, in result, God will do something. God's not just sitting up there bored. God put this whole thing together to have a family. He cares about all of our lives. Every little detail he's concerned about. You know, there's a great verse in the Gospels where every hair on your head is numbered. So he's losing interest in some of us, I guess. But basically, what he means by that is he cares about every little detail of our life. So we trust him because he's trustworthy. And we'll see some verses on all of that. But then he will direct. Now, that doesn't mean he's going to make your life easy. That's not what that says. He will direct thy path. There's a lot of different directions. But where do you go? Where do you work? Where do you live? Where do you eat? You know, how do I raise my children? How do my children put up my parents? I mean, you know, all the things like that. All aspects of life, basically, he will direct or he'll make plain. You'll know what to do. That's the bottom line. One of the translations is he'll make smooth your path. Well, one of the problems in life is not knowing what to do. Where's the job? Where's this coming from? Where's that? Over, you know, some of us have had a couple of years of life, and over the years, there's times where you pull your hair out or other things. But the point is that you trust in God, you'll know what to do. He'll make plain. You got lots of directions, and the one with the light bulb over it, that's the one to go. That's what God is saying, trust me. I won't lead you astray. I'll lead you the right path.
But us,
oh no, I'll do it myself. I'll try A, B, C before I finally get to the one God wants us to go. That's human nature. Unfortunately, we can go through a lot faster if we trust God, do it God's ways. A lot better, a lot easier, a lot quicker, and more accurately, may I say. All right, verse 7 again says, be not wise in your own eyes. You look in the mirror, you just dance around, I'm so great, life's wonderful, I know what to do. No, don't do that. In other words, fear the Lord and depart from evil. Well, what's the evil? The evil in this context is trying to figure it all out yourself. Not leaning unto God, leaning to your own understanding, I have the wisdom of the world. And the end result is you'll be healthy. Verse 8. Shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Navel is indicative of the organs of nourishment, where bones is the frame. So you'll have health, healthy health. You'll be able to sleep at night. What's that worth? You know, instead of having your mind going bounce, 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 bounce. You know, instead of counting sheep, the sheep are bouncing everywhere. All right, well, we don't want that. So God is saying, you know, if you cast your cares, if you trust him, do you think the sun's going to come up tomorrow? Came up today. Been coming up for the last many thousands of years. Well, that's where it starts. So these are a couple of familiar verses, but there's a lot of meat here. Now, the question is, why can we trust God? Well, let's look at Numbers 23 to start. We'll look at a couple of places as to why we can trust God. So Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, and specifically the number 23. 23:19. And again, another familiar verse, like many of these will be. And we read in 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie. Now, that doesn't speak highly for mankind, does it? That's also including women. That's not just men. That includes everybody. Exactly. You know, God is not a man that he should lie. That's why we can trust him. He's not a liar. He isn't making campaign promises. Okay? God, he's not the son of man that he should repent. Hath God said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? One of the reasons you can trust him, he lays it out in his word. He says he'll do this, and you will have this as a result. So if you want this, do this. And it all turns around to obeying God, loving God, doing the best you can. God knows we're human. So that's what he talks about. He's not a liar. When he makes these promises, they'll come to pass. Look at 1 Kings. Samuel Kings, 1 Kings 8. First Kings 8:56. Another great verse there. First Kings 8:56 says, "Blessed be the Lord." This is Solomon talking. "Blessed be the Lord that has given rest unto his people Israel." Rest is good, according to all that he promised. There has not failed one word of all of his good promise, which he promised by the hand of Moses, his servant. God promised Moses a lot, and over the years, he backed up every single promise. And when they obeyed him, things were great. The country prospered. They defeated their enemies. There was peace at this time, like there was here. God has got the same promises available for us today. Even greater ones because of the accomplished work of Christ. So, God took care of all the promises to Moses. He can take care of us too. Verse 57 says, "The Lord our God be with us. As he was with our fathers, let him not leave us nor forsake us." Well, that's promising. So, look at one more, Isaiah 55. This is why we can trust God, because God is trustworthy. He doesn't lie. He doesn't make things up. If he says he's going to do it, he can do it. He's got the ability. He's got the willingness. But sometimes we don't receive because we aren't doing our part. We're not fellow laborers working together with him. Isaiah 55:11. We're establishing that God's trustworthy. That's why we can trust him. Isaiah 55, we'll actually start in verse 6. Isaiah 55:6. "Seek the Lord where he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Again, you know, that evilness of trying to do it yourself, here's the same thing. Hey, forsake doing it yourself and come back to God. And verse 8 tells us why it's worth it. God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. I don't know about you, but I'm glad to read that. God's thoughts are not our thoughts. Neither God's ways, you know, neither your ways are my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts, which is why we want it to happen to God's. For as the rain comes down and snow from heaven and returns not thither, but waters the earth, makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing wherewith I sent it. That's reassuring. God gave us his word. God backs it up. And it will prosper. It will help. It will be of an advantage. So let's go back to Proverbs 3 continue to look at the context. Proverbs 3, verse 9 now. We're up to verse 9. So, this is the segment called What Should We Not Trust In? We know that we can trust in God because God's trustworthy, but what should we not trust in? Well, 9 says, to honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all your increase. So this is dealing with giving and receiving. God says to honor him. It's interesting. The word honor is actually, it's an Arabic word that deals with weights and heavy. It means heavy. The heavier the weight, the more wealthier you are. And we're giving God more honor. That's the whole context behind it. You give God more and more and more honor, the heavier it is, you know, and then the more God will do for us. You know, it's a weighty matter. It's a heavy matter. You probably all remember Back to the Future when, you know, Michael J. Fox kept going, heavy. Is there something wrong with the earth 30 years from now? So, but anyway, honoring with depth is what we're talking about here. Honor the Lord with, you know, what God has blessed you with, your substance, with the first fruits even of your increase. And the end result is God will make sure that you have a barn. Well, maybe you just have a garage or a basement. But it'll be filled with blessings. And your presses will burst out with new wine. You'll always have good wine to drink. Well, that's just indicative of the bountifulness of God is what it's talking about. Now, the reason that this comes up in the whole context is, well, let's go to Proverbs 11. We'll look at one more Proverbs and then we'll move on. Proverbs 11, 28. Because we're looking at a segment on what do we not trust in? Proverbs 11:28 says, he that trusts in his riches shall fall. So we don't want to trust in wealth, accumulation of wealth, or the government, or riches, things like that. And that's the whole context of being in the flow with God, of giving and receiving. That's why it's in that context of trusting God. All right, let's look at a couple places. Deuteronomy 28 that handles this subject. Numbers, Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. 28. And we'll start in verse 7. Deuteronomy 28:7. Again, why should we trust in God? The Lord shall cause thy enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way and flee seven different ways. Here comes the armies at you, and then you stand up with God, and all of a sudden, there they go. Boom, 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 seven different ways. Okay. Now, verse 8. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses. God is saying, bless you, and bless you some more. And besides that, bless you again. That's what he's saying. You want to be blessed? Trust me. Take care of me. Fall into what I have to say. I'm commanding blessings upon you in your storehouses and in all that thou settlest thine hand to do. He shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God gives you. Again, this is Israel, but it's same true today. God can bless his people today even more so because of the accomplishments of Christ. So, let's go to Mark, the Gospel of Mark. Let's see if Jesus has anything to say on this subject. What should we not trust in? We're supposed to trust in God, but this keeps coming up because people have a tendency to trust in this, and that is their riches, their wealth, and doing things themselves. So Mark 10, and we'll pick it up in verse 17. Mark 10, 17. And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running. And this person ran up to Jesus and knelt before him and said, "Good master." Well, look at the show this guy's putting on. He's running to see what he has to say. "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "What are you calling me good for? I'm none good but one, God. Thou knowest the commandments. Don't commit adultery, don't kill, don't steal, don't... You know, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother." Hear that, children? Honor thy father and mother. Just making sure you... Yeah. And he answered and said unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Verse 21 now. And Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Now stop for a second. What is going to follow is because Jesus Christ loved this individual. This guy looked so religious, had his whole life together, but now Jesus is going to take it up a notch. Now, you tell everybody this, but specifically this individual person has a commitment problem, and that's what we're going to see here. So Jesus is doing this because Jesus loved him and said unto him, "All right, here's the thing that you're lacking in your life. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasures in heaven, and come, take up thy cross, and follow me." And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved because he had great possessions. Jesus hit him right at the place where his heart was, what he was trusting and what he was doing. He was a nice person. He did the law. He kept everything to the best he could. But he was trusting in riches. And that's why Jesus, who loved him, said, "Hey, you know, you really want this lifestyle? You really want to serve me? Then unburden your life a little bit." And his disciples, verse 24, okay, 23. And Jesus looked around and said, "What?" His disciples, you know. "What are you guys looking at me for? How hard shall they that have riches enter in the kingdom of God?" And his disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered and said unto them, let's take it up a notch, guys. Here's what I'm talking about. Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches? Not people are rich. That's what he's talking about. They trust in the riches again. The riches can buy law people and judges and everything, and I can be OJ and I can get out. How hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? And that's the whole point. This individual put his trust not in God and Jesus Christ, but in his riches. You know, hey, I always got money for rent. I always can do this. I could always, you know, all that kind of stuff. But not, that's the whole point. That's why he told the guy, "Hey, all right, quit trusting in riches, trust in me, and watch what will happen." And he was willing to do that. Look at 1 Timothy. Towards the end of the Bible, 1 Timothy chapter 6. Because when it comes to wealth and riches and things like that, it's great. God's people should prosper. Nothing wrong with that. But when you start trusting in them, that's when you start having problems. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and we start in verse 6. First Timothy 6:6, we read, "But godliness with contentment is great gain." So you want great gain, understand what godliness is and develop that and be content with that. And godliness is having a true, vital, spiritual relationship with God. We're not talking religion where you smile and you, go through the acts and the motion and your heart's someplace else. We're talking about godliness, a true, vital, spiritual relationship with God. That is what we're to have. When you develop the relationship with God, have a nice day. Enjoy yourself. Be content. And that's great gain. And you will sleep well. And you won't be concerned about all the other things in life. For we brought nothing into the world. It's certain you can't carry nothing out. I always thought, if Christ came back, I'd have my Bible in my hand. And as we were going up, the new spiritual body hit somebody in the head and said, you should have read this. But we can't take it with us. The Pharaohs tried, and guess what? It's still here. All right. Verse 8. So if you got food and raiment, be happy. Be content. Sustenance and shelter. Having sustenance and shelter, you got some space. You got your little place. It doesn't matter if it's big, small, green, or red. It's great. Good food and sustenance and shelter. Be content with that. Be happy. But they that will be rich, or those that desire, those that have the desire to be rich, fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. They sink people in ruin and destruction because their desire is to be rich. 10, for the love of money is the root of all evil. The desire to have... The people who have money, most of them don't have this desire anymore. It's people who don't have it. They go out of their way to win the lottery and other things like that, to be rich, so to speak, in this world. It's the love, the desire of it that's the problem. And because some have coveted after that, instead of going after God, the things of God, they've erred from the truth and pierced themselves through with many sorrows, with sharp pains. They're their own worst enemy. They're their own problem to themselves because wrong priorities. Wrong priority. Trusting God. Understanding God's will. Verse 11 then tells us what we should do. But you, oh man of God, woman of God, person that belongs through the church because of the confidence of Jesus Christ, flee those things. No, thank you. Instead, follow after righteousness, which is justness. Follow after godliness, because that helps you be content. Follow after faith, love, patience, and meekness. And fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold of eternal life. Whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession, or confessed a good confession before many witnesses. You've identified that Jesus Christ is Lord. Look at Luke 18. This is a familiar parable. Luke 18. This is the one where God tells everybody to sell everything and give it to me. No. That's never the case. Luke 18, verse 9. Luke 18, verse 9 tells us the whole purpose of what he's about to lay out. All right, Luke 18, verse 9. And he, being Jesus, spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. So here's the whole purpose of why he did this. He's because certain people trust in themselves, and since I'm more righteous than you, I'm better than you then. God likes me more than you, and all this kind of stuff. And so he specifically is going to tell this parable, addressing it to those who are trusting in themselves. All right, here's the parable. Two men went up into the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee, the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. I'm not an extortionist. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. I'm not even like that publican over there. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And that publican over there, that guy over there, what was he going to do? Well, he wouldn't even lift up his eyes unto heaven. He kept smoting his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me. I'm a sinner. Well, that's all of us. God be merciful unto us because we're sinners. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalts himself shall be abased, shall be brought lower, humbled, and he that humbles himself is going to be exalted. So, great learning in there, but the purpose was those who were trusting in themselves. Jeremiah 9, lays it out very clearly to us. Isaiah, Jeremiah. So, we can trust God. And we can trust God all the time. And God's there to help. God's there to provide. God's there to take care of us. God doesn't lie. God has got wisdom for us. Jeremiah 9:23 lays it out very clearly. Jeremiah 9:23. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, which exercises loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. And that's really the great exhortation. Don't, you know, glory in your wisdom, glory in your mighty man, glory in your glory that you can do like Mr. Ryan over there, who can do lots of cartwheels. He can't just glory in that, but he can glory in the fact that he's got a good, healthy body. That's right. All right. And that God will take care of us with his righteousness, his judgment, his loving kindness. Why? Because he wants to. Number one, he cares. But it's up to us to walk with him instead of walking away from him. And where do we find all the knowledge of God? Gee, it's pretty close. So, Father, thank you for your love and care for us, and that you do want the best for us, and we can trust you. And you do take care of us day in and day out, and we don't have to fear what man can do to us. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.